the fourth beast, or the ten-horned dragon. This beast was to arise out of the Mediterranean territory, as well as the others. The belligerent tempests on every side were to give rise to it, for, says Daniel, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. And when he had finished the description of them, he states that they are four kings, kings being used in Scripture oftentimes for their kingdoms and vice versa, which shall arise out of the earth. Which explains that when he says up from the sea, he means the countries of the Mediterranean, which in Scripture geography is styled the Great Sea. That this beast is identical in signification with the iron part of the image and incorporates within its dominion the territory of the kingdoms of the brazen thighs is indicated by its teeth of iron and claws of brass. A beast of prey destroys with its teeth and claws. Like the iron kingdom of the image, this iron-toothed dominion was to devour and break in pieces all that came in its way, and to stamp the undevoured residue with its brazen clawed feet. It was exceeding dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and though not named by the prophet, may, by the aid of history and the apocalypse, be correctly termed the Greco-Roman dragon. This fourth beast was shown to Daniel for the purpose of representing certain things predestined to come to pass in connection with the ten toes of the image which could not be suitably displayed in symbolic feet. The things to be illustrated were, 1. The eradication of the power of the three-toe dynasties, or royalties, and the subjugation of their territories to an imperial dominion. 2. The peculiar character and constitution of this imperiality. 3. The part this military power was to play in relation to the saints. 4. The time the image feet were to continue before they should be smitten by the stone. 5. The consumption of the militant power, which was to precede the destruction of the image. 6. The personage through whom the destructive power of the stone should be manifested. 7. The giving of the kingdom to him and the saints. And 8. The nature of the mountain which should fill the whole earth. These 8 points constitute a summary of the things designed to be represented by the 11 horns which made their appearance on the head of the fourth beast. The first point is symbolized by the coming up of a little horn among the 10 horns, which subdues 3 horns so as to pluck up by the roots the regal dynasties they represent, and in this way leaving only 7 independent royalties besides its imperial self. The second and third points are presented by this little horn having inserted into it human eyes and mouth, and described as having a more audacious look than its fellow horns or contemporary dynasties, and speaking very great things or blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, or saints, style the temple of God in the Scripture, and them that dwell in heaven. Its character is also further illustrated by its making war upon the saints, and prevailing against them, and changing God's times and laws. The fourth and fifth points are set forth by the slaying and burning of the fourth beast, with his appendages at the end of a time, times, and the dividing of time. And the sixth, seventh, and eighth points are revealed by the verbal declaration that the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and there was given him dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, his kingdom one which shall not be destroyed. Again, the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even for ever and ever. And again, the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom, and the kingdom, the dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is the dominion of the great mountain that fills the whole earth. There is nothing said about the heads of this fourth beast, whether there was one or more. Hence, the chronology of the symbol must be restricted to the horns, The dynasties of the leopard heads were all superseded by the fourth beast before the birth of Christ, but the ten horns, answering to the ten toes of the image, did not make their appearance till the 5th century after Christ.
The life of the beast is measured by the continuance of the horns, and the duration of these by the time allotted for the little horn to prevail against saints. It is to prevail until a time, times, and the dividing of time shall have elapsed some determinate epoch. Nothing is more obvious to one of these saints than that these times have not yet run out, because the power still exists and prevails against them. Upwards of 1260 years have elapsed since the horns established themselves on the Western Roman territory, so that the chronology of the symbol is not to be calculated from the rise or growth of the horns out of the dragon's head. Indeed, if we had no other data, other than what are furnished to us in the vision of the fourth beast, we could not tell when the time, times, and dividing of time should commence. The vision only informs us when it shall end, namely, with the casting down of the thrones or horn dynasties and the destruction of the beast's dominion in all its parts by the burning flame, a process which has been steadily approaching since February 1848, and thereby indicating that the consummation is at hand. The fall of three horns before the little horn, which overthrows them, by which it becomes an eighth power on the dragon's territory, suggests its identity with the eighth, which goeth into perdition, treated of in the Apocalypse. Speaking of the signification of the seven heads of the Roman beast, it is stated that they have a double interpretation, that is, they represent the seven mountains on which Rome is situated, and seven heads of government which have prevailed there. The seventh dynasty had not appeared when John saw the vision. When it was manifested, it was to continue in the seven-hilled city only a short space. After this had passed away, and as history shows, 246 years after its entire destruction, an eighth head appeared in Rome. This was an outlying dynasty, thrusting itself in among the horns from a country lying beyond the geographical limits of the old Roman territory. It was a dynasty growing out of a foreign country, and therefore styled another beast. Hence the reason why it is written in the text referred to the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. This is also affirmed of the ten-horned beast, as well as of the two-horned beast, or eighth head, because there is the same intimate connection between these two beasts or dominions as that which exists between the little horn and seven horns of the Greco-Roman dragon. John was favored with a vision of the wilderness or territory of the Holy Roman Empire, as it is styled. He saw it as it was in the first century after Christ. Then the dominion which now exists there had no being. In spirit, he viewed it as it would appear several centuries after when the dominion had arisen. It was then the beast that is. Again he saw the wilderness after the power had passed away. He then speaks of the dominion as the beast that was, and the beast that is not, because it will then have gone into perdition. We can now say of the Holy Roman beast, it is, and from the present appearances shall be said, able to say in a few years, it was and is not, because it is destroyed by the burning flame. The little horn's character has been more obvious to interpreters than its constitution. In certain respects, it is like the other ten horns. These were all secular dynasties. If they had individually possessed eyes and a mouth, they would all have been episcopal and speaking horns, like the little horn, but they possessed neither. They were simple horns, evincing power, secular and not spiritual, in their operations.
When eyes look more stout than existences around them, and their mouth speaks blasphemies against God's angels and the saints, they become symbolic of ecclesiastical power, and inserted into a horn, they present a symbol which represents a conjunct dynasty. That is, a dominion whose executive is imperial, and which is constituted either of an imperial pontiff and a secular emperor, or of one head, in whom is vested the imperial administration both of secular and ecclesiastical affairs, as was the case with the pagan Roman emperors. The little horn of the Greco-Roman dragon, or fourth beast, is a twofold dynasty or dominion. Its eyes and mouth represent one horn, and the rest of the horn another. The former is overseeing and blaspheming horn, the latter the secular or military horn, which cooperates with it and does all the fighting. Hence, when we find the little horn fully developed, we may expect to discover two personages who, through subsequent ages, are conspicuous as imperial chiefs of the Western world. These, it is almost needless to add, are the Pope and the Emperor.